1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie. Anthony Hall. Anthony, good afternoon.
How's it going, Joe? How are you?
Good. Well,
thanks for having me on.
Was this day last week? You came home and your house was gone.
My house was gone.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
And was there anyone
down the bank to the Grand Canal, and it was just gone.
And was there anyone standing around the spot where your house once stood, saying, "There it is, gone"?
Yeah. All the boating community down in Lowtown Boatyard in Kildare, basically standing around, and I came down the bank. They were kind of all just staring at me, and I turned around to the lads and I said, "How's my boat doing? Is it gone?" And they was like, "No, it's actually gone."
But it was a houseboat. You lived on it.
Yeah, I was living on it, yeah.
Tell us, describe it to us first.
Okay, so it was a pontoon houseboat, something I built myself.
Okay.
They have them all over the UK, have them all over Amsterdam, all that kind of stuff. But apparently it's frowned upon by Waterways Ireland, and they basically lifted my houseboat out of the water on Wednesday last week.
And Waterways Ireland are the quango that own the canals, basically.
They
own everything.
Yeah, basically. I don't know. There's a lot of people that say they don't actually own the canals. They only own what's on the banks of the canals. But then again, it's like a grey line.
So where is your house gone?
My house is gone. They took it. They loaded it up onto a low loader and they took it to Shannon Harbour in Offaly on the other side of the country.
And how can you get your house back?
I can't. Inland Waterways are looking for €2,500 off me, a haulage fee, which I can't afford. Mm-hmm. And I have no home, currently sleeping on a friend's couch at the moment.
And are they billing you for lifting? That's a big job.
They're billing me for the lift, the haulage, crane, low loader, staff. There's 4 Gardaí present as well to take me out of my home. I don't understand it whatsoever. It was crazy.
So the cost of the crane was $5,000, basically.
Yeah, well, they reckon the total cost came in at somewhere around $5,000, and they hit me with a bill of $2,500.
So you'd have to pay $7,500.
Well, no, they want $2,500 off me, but for me to get my boat home or anywhere near me, it's going to cost me like another haulage fee. So it could be $4,000.
You will not be permitted to return the structure any navigation managed by Waterways Ireland.
Yeah, so they won't give me my boat back unless I've paid the fee. So my boat is now in a compound over in Shannon Harbour.
And they'll keep it for a month.
They keep it for a month, otherwise it gets put up for a legal tender or destroyed. So, yeah.
Now, it is a beautiful structure. I don't know if we tweeted it yet, but it is very well made. It's not your trade.
Yeah, no, it's the first time I ever built a boat. It was kind of a lockdown project. Yeah. What happened was I was living at home due to personal circumstances. Anyway, I moved out, renting, moved home. Then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, I was living with my man and dad. So I said, look, I don't want to be living with my man and dad when there's a pandemic on. So yeah. I was kind of living on friends' couches and stuff like that. And then I just kind of took it in my head to build a boat, like a way out of, you know, the rent and the housing crisis. So I was just like, no, I can't do it. I can't afford it. I was like, I'll put my last few quid I have into building this houseboat. So I found this big hay shed out in Ballateague, and I started building it in the depths of winter. And I got it to a place where I felt like happy with it. It's good. It's nice. It's structurally sound. The feedback I've had about the house has been fantastic. And so I launched it, floated perfectly. There's not a problem with it. Waterways clearly had a problem with it.
And Anthony, how is it floating?
It's floating on 220 litre barrels.
They're the big blue barrels,
Big blue drums, yeah.
Yeah, drums.
But
yeah.
You can't see the blue drums. I've built this sheet metal around it. It just looks like a normal hull of a boat. But Can it move? Yeah. I came under 3 bridges on a lock on the way down to where it was.
Can it move of its own volition? Have you an engine on it?
No. See, that's the thing. Waterways Ireland came down to me. Two authorities from Waterways Ireland came down to me and they said, lovely boat. Congratulations, you've done a great job. I was like, oh, thanks very much. You want to come on in? Mm-hmm. Invited them in, the whole lot. They asked me, are you living on it? I said, yeah, I'm living on it. They said, you've done a great job, amazing. I said, look, I know there's a standard, there's a mooring fee you have to pay. what everyone else in the country pays for living on the canals, €126.
A year?
I said, a year, yeah.
That's not bad. Is it €2
well, you're
a
not,
week?
You're not actually, apparently, you're not actually legally allowed to live on the canal, but there's hundreds of people living all over the canals in Ireland.
Is there?
But waterways have kind of set a precedence with that kind of thing, you know. So I just figured, look, I'd shoot my shot and build a boat and put it in.
And what's on? Many rooms on the boat?
It's one big bedroom, bathroom, and a kitchen dining room.
And heating?
Yeah, I have a solid fuel stove with a back boiler, running a few radiators and stuff like that, yeah.
And sanitation and plumbing?
Yeah, well, that was all going to be, chemical toilets and all that kind of stuff, but they have facilities there in Lowtown Boatyard to deal with all that kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
were you not putting it up to them? Isn't there a Waterways Ireland depot at Lowtown, given its incredible location?
Yeah, I was in work. I went out early that morning for work. I was surface dressing, and we got rained off, and I came home early, and my boat was gone. I came walking down the banks, and my boat was gone.
But did you get a notice a week beforehand, a month beforehand, saying...
No, I got a notice saying my boat was going to be lifted in 10 days. That was the date the letter was written, but I got really, realistically, about 8 days. I sent on the mooring fee, like I told the officials from Waterways I would, and they sent me back the fee along with my boat being gone.
Now, unfortunately, Waterways Ireland, you were a massive taxpayer-funded North and South body, but unfortunately they don't. Just as I was looking at the letters they sent you, all the letters are PP'd by someone whose name I can't read. Something or other. On behalf of someone else's name I can read. But let me read out the statement. We won't go into Waterways Ireland removed an illegal construction from the navigation in compliance with the bylaws. The bylaws are clear what constitutes a boat. A set of barrels with a garden shed on top does not meet the minimum safety, seaworthy or navigation criteria. A set of barrels with a garden shed on top.
Does it look like that to you in the photos?
No, we tweeted the photographs on that Joe Live and at RT Live and asked the people. It looks like a very, very well built cabin with a kind of porch at the front, but the porch at the front is actually facing into the water. It looks very, it's no way haphazard in terms of its construction.
No, not at all.
Is it durable? Will it last?
It will last forever. The barrels will never deteriorate. They're solid plastic, 10 mil plastic. The exterior is galvanized sheeting, 25-year non-rust. You don't have to paint it. You don't have to treat it. You don't have to do anything with it. It just literally sits there or take it wherever you want. It's like, it's perfect. They have them all over the UK. They have them all over Amsterdam. But just, this is Ireland's way of backwards thinking. It's a joke. It's gone beyond a joke now, I think.
And there's two canals meet at Lowtown. Is that right?
Yeah, there's different lines. There's like a Barrow line and then the Shannon line.
Oh, beautiful.
And that kind
of
brings you into Dublin.
Well, it's an incredible resource, our canals. Incredibly underused as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But incredible resource, it really is, for especially in the world we're now living in. Fire safety. How would you get out in the event of a fire? Now, there's plenty of water around you, but how would you
So I've a front door, front and back.
Have you? Okay, so you have a back door on it. Oh, I didn't know.
A back door as well, there for fire safety reasons. So if there's a fire in the front, I just go out the back door. Yeah. Like a barge, like any barge. All barges are built with a front and back door.
Are you causing an obstruction to anyone?
Absolutely no. Wide beam barges are 12 foot wide. This structure is 10 foot wide by 35 foot long, so it's smaller than any wide beam barge in the country.
And can you tell me how much it costs you to make? How much you stand to lose?
I'm into this for about 8,500-9,000 euros now at the moment, plus about 1 million man hours. It's taken all my money, all my time. Mm-hmm. And it was a desperate act to get from underneath the housing crisis that's going on, because I couldn't afford the rent. Now I have no money, I have no house, and I'm sleeping on a friend's couch currently at the moment.
And you need €2,500 to
to get my boat back, and I don't have the money to do it.
And how do you respond? How do you respond again to that pretty blunt statement from Waterways Ireland? They say a set of barrels with a garden shed on top is not a houseboat.
All those barrels have been barrel banded into the structure. It's a steel frame, and the barrels have actually been bound to the structure. They can't go anywhere. And like most boats, you get a puncture in your hull, your boat goes down. If I get a puncture in a barrel, my boat doesn't go down. It just looks a tiny bit lopsided. It's like completely safe. It's not going to do any damage or any harm whatsoever.
Could you put it on land?
Yeah, you can put it on land. But I was thinking about that, but unfortunately, I didn't have the money for land. Didn't know anybody with land. I could pick it up, cut the barrels off, and plonk it on a piece of land. But unfortunately, I don't have those resources at the moment.
But then you need electricity and
Electricity, water, power, sewage, and all that kind of stuff.
How do you work for electricity? Is there some way?
Yeah, it was completely self sustaining. I had a wind turbine that waterways are bit off the side of my house with a hammer. I had 200-watt solar panels. It was going to be completely 12-volt, completely self-sustaining. Nothing wrong with it in the world. Didn't need anything from anybody, and waterways lifted out of the canal and took me house.
But, Anthony, what about their worry that if you got away with this, half of Dublin Bay South will be on the canal heading down towards you with garden sheds on Carla Cousin gas cylinders?
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing about it is, I think that would be a great option for people if they could do it in a secure and professional manner. Like, my structure, it's not just like a garden shed on a floating pontoon. It's professionally made. I work with my hands all my life. It's a perfect job. I urge anybody that can do it, go out and do it. You know, Waterways Ireland have something to answer for here. You know, there's a housing crisis going on. The canal is the perfect waterways or system for people to get out from underneath that. It's incredible what they have and what they're not utilizing.
What about inside? What way have you floored it and insulated it? And
It's got a marine ply, 12mm marine ply on top of a 7mm box steel structure. Then it's 50mm of insulation all around underneath the floor. It's warmer than any mobile home. It's a professional job.
And if you did get if someone did offer you a bit of land, well, you'd need sewage and electricity connection.
You need all that kind of stuff. You know, unfortunately, I don't know anybody with land. I don't know anybody.
Yeah, okay, I understand that.
But I have to say something, Joe. Like, I really feel that Waterways Ireland and the officials that came onto my boat and I brought them in with open arms have really treated me with complete disregard and disrespect. It's been literally awful. Like, lying to my face on the boat and then just completely
don't say that. I don't know who was on your boat. Nobody. You have a recollection, Wunker. No. That word cannot stand. So that word is gone. But Waterways Ireland are basically saying, they quote the Act, the Canals Act 1986, no person shall place or use any structure, tent, caravan or vehicle as a dwelling on the canal property except with the written permission of the commissioners.
Did you know all that
when you were doing it, Anthony?
I built a houseboat with the thought in mind that there's loads of people living on houseboats all over the country. You know, there's barges, there's normal boats, there's houseboats all over the UK and Amsterdam, built the exact same way mine is built. I just think it's backward thinking on Waterways' behalf, and it just makes no sense, zero sense.
Now, I don't know whether you've seen all the, and I'm not comparing you, all the makeshift structures around the country with the pubs, drinking and dining. Now, if there's a storm in the next few weeks, half of the men of Ireland are going to be made homeless when those structures blow away at the pubs. Would yours withstand the storm?
Mine would withstand anything. It was in the water with 50 km/h gusts going through Lowtown Boatyard, tied up, not a problem. No issues whatsoever.
Okay.
It's as well built as anybody can build it, Joe, and that's the truth.
I'll ask people again to look at the photographs. It's at Joe Liveline or at RTE Liveline and retweet. Well, let's see what people
I appreciate that.
Think. Just put a name on it, by the way.
The big name that was going through was Lockdown, L-O-U-G-H, because they built it during lockdown. They shed in the winter.
Lockdown.
Yeah. Bit of a lockdown project, but...
And now it's gone. Now it's gone down.
Now it's gone.
Cormac McKay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How did you get on with Waterways Ireland and your dealings?
Yeah, well, we wanted to do something similar. I wanted to open up a cafe at Spencer Dock.
Great location.
Yes, Waterways Ireland spent about 30 million on it, so quite a bit of taxpayers' money has been spent on the canals.
And Spencer Dock.
Yes, Spencer Dock. Yes, there's quite an expensive lock system there that connects into the Liffey. And it's completely unused. It has not been used much. Unfortunately, freedom of information are very hard to get because it's a Northern Irish authority.
Well, it's an All-Ireland authority with their head office in Enniskillen.
Yeah, it actually came out of the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah. It's like we've two food authorities, bizarrely. We've Safe Food Ireland and Food Safety Ireland, which is crazy. That's one of them came out of the Good Friday Agreement. Either way, you're paying for it, isn't you? That's the main thing. Cormac, just tell me what structure was down in Spencer Dock in Dublin beside the new... Who's moved? Who's taken over Boland's Mills there? The new... Is that Google or...
There's Google and there's a few of the things.
Well, my point is it's going to be one of the busiest parts of the country.
It is.
That Boland's Mill structure is absolutely incredible to look at architecturally. Congratulations to all involved for change. So you say where were you going to put your coffee shop?
We were going to put it at Spencer Dock beside the convention centre. And it was going to be built in a manner similar to the one that's been rejected by Waterways Ireland. And Waterways Ireland told us at a meeting that it's not some... We were going to use shipping containers on the floats. And
this is where Owen Keegan wants to put his water rapids idea. Is it?
Yeah, well, nothing. No, that's St. George's Dock, so that's a different area again. But Spencer Dock is right beside the convention centre where the Dáil is sitting at the moment.
Okay.
But quite a bit of money was spent on that to bring it up to standard.
But there is a structure there.
A platform, yeah. So that's a dock, a walkway floating dock.
And did you want your... Did you want your coffee shop on the water or out of the water?
On the water there.
Okay. And it's beside those two, I don't know the name, but those two lifting bridges, those really iconic lifting bridges that, they're operated by water, I think. It's the weight of the water lifts them.
That's right.
And you can get into the dock, and then when you discard the water, they drop down again. Incredible, ingenious. I think they're the only two left in the country. They're magnificent. To look at, so they should be preserved.
Unfortunately, now they don't work, but there is still a lock system there to allow boats to get from the canal onto the Liffey, and you'd go under that lifting bridge.
Okay, so where's your project now?
Well, Boaty McBoatface unfortunately did not go anywhere because Waterways Ireland were just too difficult to deal with. And it was going to be quite a significant investment for myself.
And when you say Waterways Ireland is too difficult to deal with, are you telling me that Enniskillen has control over Spencer Dock?
They would do, yeah. Now, they do have an office in Dublin and they have a director of business development in Grand Canal Dock. But business development in the Republic of Ireland along the waterways has been quite considerably lacking, in my opinion. And in my opinion, Waterways Ireland have contributed to the housing crisis that we have because they're not allowing people to live on the canals. And Ireland has great canals.
So much for an outdoor summer.
Yeah, but I mean, this is an ongoing issue. I mean, it came up in the headlines last year where people living along the Grand Canal in Dublin were threatened with their boats being lifted.
Yeah, we had them on here loads of times, and then people with intents were moved by a number of organisations. Dennis Horgan, stay with us, 51551 My Chance. Dennis Horgan is a retired barrister. Dennis, can you throw us a life buoy?
Yes, I was practising on the southwestern circuit down in Kerry, and I am familiar with one particular case. I wasn't involved in it, but I was present in court, and it was dealt with before the late Mr. Justice Barr, who was in charge of the Admiralty Division of the court cases at the time. And he was delighted to come down on circuit and hear this by way of an appeal. That particular case involved somebody who had brought over a landing barge from England.
Okay.
had disassembled it and had welded on wagon pipes and metal pipes with ropes hanging off them to get involved in mussel culture.
Okay.
And during a storm, it broke loose and it drifted off down the bay. And 2 days later, the man driving around the bay found it washed up on the shore. He was able to put an outboard engine on it, and he was able to motor it back up to where it had been. And he applied for compensation to Kerry County Council, but they refused and said it didn't constitute a ship.
Okay.
And Judge Barr decided that in order to constitute a ship or a boat, it must have three attributes. It must float, it must be capable of being steered, and it must be capable of being maneuvered. Now, the man that you're talking about there, just because he had flotation barrels underneath, it seems to come within all the definitions. It seems to float. I'm sure it can be maneuvered, and I'm sure by putting an outboard engine, maybe he has an engine on it already, but by putting an outboard engine on a bracket, it can be steered. So,
okay, stay with us, Dennis, please, let Anthony answer those points. They're really strong points. Can it float? Anthony, yes.
Well, certainly. But,
can it be steered?
I'd just like to say, when I was talking to the two deputies from Inland Waterways, I explained to them that I was only getting on my feet and I was only trying to make my way and all that kind of stuff. And they said to me, is there going to be an engine on it? I said, yes. I said, there is going to be an engine on it. Is it going to be able to steer it? I said, yes. And then they wished me luck. They said, yeah. Okay. And I said, I'll pay the fee. No problem. They said, take your time on it. We know you're only getting on your feet. There's no rush with that. All that kind of stuff.
Mm.
I'd let them know exactly what was happening. Told them exactly what the score was with engines and steering and all the rest of it. But then, still again, 8 days later, my boat was lifting out of the water.
But was it steerable and manoeuvrable at that time when it was removed?
At that exact time, no.
Okay.
Not with an outboard engine.
You're very straight. Yeah, you're very straight. Dennis Horgan, what do you think?
I still think it wouldn't cost an awful lot for him to take some legal advice, because that particular case in Tralee referred to an English court case called the Mac. Now, it's years ago since that case was heard, my memory is pretty vague, but the Mac was an English sailing ship, and that also dealt with the attributes of what constitutes a ship or a boat. I don't know what was the finding in that case. It's just so long ago since I heard it. But, look, all he had to do was, you can get an auxiliary motor bracket, and you can have it screwed onto the back of that boat in 10 minutes. And you can mount an outboard on it. So even if he could do it very, very quickly, you know, to come within that definition.
And then what you'd have to do at the back, Anthony, is you'd have to build a little bit of a platform so you could see over your roof for
That was all worked out.
Oh, okay, you've been fancy for everything.
But I just think in the current climate, Joe, making people homeless for the sake of, like I'm telling Waterways, and they're agreeing with me that I'm going to have an outboard engine on the back of it, but they don't hear it. They know I'm living on it. They arrive up to take me out of my house, you know, and the current climate we're living in, I just don't think that's acceptable whatsoever.
Well, insofar as, do you know legally what could they have done if you were on or in your house, as you describe it, when they arrived? What was the purpose of the Gardaí?
I presume that the Gardaí were there to take me out of my home. That's the only reason I can see that the Gardaí were there.
Okay. Cormac and Kay wanted to come back in. Joe at RT.ie. Cormac, your point, please.
Joe, you can actually live on the canals, there is people that live on narrow boats, traditional narrow boats on the canals. But there is a rule that Waterways Ireland have that you must move your boat every 90 days and that you cannot stay in the one spot.
Anthony, you could do that, couldn't you?
Absolutely, but it's what Waterways overlook. People stay in the one spot. There's people staying in the one spot for 15 years. You know, they don't enforce that rule.
But does that not invalidate your argument that they don't mind people staying on the Waterways?
Yeah, but they don't. I just feel completely discriminated against at this stage. You know, it's
Dennis Horgan, you mentioned, go back to Dennis, the retired part, you mentioned the Admiralty Courts, which are there, from the 14th century. Do we still have one in Ireland?
We do, and at that time, Judge Bobby Barr was in charge of it, and whenever he sat, he would always have an Admiralty bell on his desk. So instead of the traditional gavel, he would tinkle his bell. But he was the expert. I think he was involved in sailing himself as well. And
who was our Admiral? Who was the High Court judge that's now comprises our Admiralty Court when needed?
I actually don't know. Because I'm retired, I don't know. I don't know at the moment.
But we have an Admiralty Court in Ireland.
Well, it would be referred to as an Admiralty Division.
Of the High Court.
It's a special area of law. And, you know, so they like the idea of one judge, you know, dealing with it. Because arresting national boats and arresting ships. And
yeah, it can be very serious responsibility.
Absolutely, huge responsibility.
Okay, we'll try and find out who was the judge in charge of the Admiralty Court Division of the High Court. Phil, your point, please. joe@rt.ie. Phil.
Hiya, Joe.
What do you think of Anthony? Did you see the photograph of us both?
I didn't see the photograph.
I want people to look at the photograph now and tell me what they think of it.
But do you know what? I'm just doing things around the house here, and I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, how ridiculous. Give the chap back his boat. I mean, you know, we're just coming out of COVID. It's his home.
It's outdoors.
It does give him back his boat when you think about, and I think somebody has made, you know, some of the comments already that I was going to make. When you think of what's been put up structurally very quickly in relation to pubs and restaurants and all of that, and that's good too. But really, I don't know anything about boats. I think boats on the canals are lovely. I would live in a boat myself if that was ever possible. But, you know, knowing nothing about, you know, the legality of this or whatever. I mean, they've just evicted him to where? You know, where does he go now? Where does he live? And who, you know, it's the bureaucracy of this. Any warning. And that's what I'm actually quite angered about this. And I'm saying, here we go again. This is Ireland again. You know, they just pick on people and out you go.
Okay.
You know,
they're saying the law doesn't allow for a garden shed on 20 barrels become a boat. That's their point.
No, I haven't seen the photograph, and I will make sure I do.
Okay, and I refer to people to @JoeLiveLine or @RTLiveLine on Twitter. Stay there, Phil. Cormac McKay, you have seen the photographs of it.
I have, yes, and I'm familiar with the system. And it's done quite regularly. There's actually a project under construction at the moment in Belfast Harbour for living on the water using the Matrix pontoons, which is the plastic barrels that he's talking about there. So, I mean, it's not uncommon in the rest of Europe, and people live on structures like that. You can actually buy one pre-made yourself for about £30,000.
Okay.
This gentleman, he's done it himself, done a great job.
Very handy. For about £10,000.
And just this is, for some reason, Waterways Ireland are not accepting it.
Cormac, you're familiar with the Dublin City, and you mentioned Spencer Dock. What about the Killarney there, that restaurant come bar? It's a ship, isn't it?
Yeah, now the Port Killarney had to go through absolute unbelievable requirements.
They
had to build a dock that could accommodate everybody on the boat for evacuation purposes. They had to build two ramps down to that dock.
Okay.
The ship itself is in stationary place, so it cannot move.
It's on the lift.
So it was totally over-engineered for what...
But it's still going, isn't it? It's still there.
They do fantastic dinner and they do fantastic events. And I'm sure they've struggled in the lockdown.
But are they not... If they're on the Liffey, they're Dublin Port and Docksport.
It would be. Wouldn't have been Waterways Ireland.
But surely
City Council requirements... everything is just over-engineered here for the requirements.
But isn't that one of the great things about the pandemic, that a lot of the red tape was swept away? A lot of the ridiculous red tape was swept away almost overnight.
Well, Joe, if you speak to many of the business holders, unfortunately, no. Dublin City Council were impossible to deal with. And to be honest, a lot of the pedestrianisation is half-assed. it's not satisfactory compared to other European cities where we have full streets of pedestrianisation, the likes of Cable Street, Parliament Street. All of that should have been done 3 months ago.
The argument last week from Dublin City Council that they didn't want to put in more litter bins because people put litter in them.
It's all about preparation. And as our great footballer said, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. And we failed. Okay. And unfortunately, businesses now, I'd be highly disappointed with Dublin City Council if I was a business owner in Dublin City Council, Dublin City, because they're struggling and they're going to struggle. Even with the open, it's going to be a struggle. And they could have done with all the help they could have got. But
given that we're told, likes of Limerick and indeed Dublin is now pivoting towards the sea, given the incredible developments all along the quays north and south, Grand Canal Dock, the Harry's Cafe and Restaurant, the Bord Gosh Energy Theatre, all the different restaurants around there, Milano's and Eli and all the carry on. We are pivoting towards the sea, so why wouldn't they encourage...
Crux of the problem is housing and the housing crisis. They've built a gorgeous tower there down on the docks and it's half empty. And people just can't afford $3,500 a month.
But how long can the owners afford to keep it empty?
Well, in my opinion, they're deceiving their investors and saying they're going to be getting this money at some stage.
Well, maybe they will, Okay. You know, you take it by an incredible tower. Why is it empty? But it was...
There's other apartment buildings being deliberately left empty as well. And I made a complaint to the competition authority personally myself. And that complaint was not recognised.
And what was your complaint?
My complaint was that they were deliberately keeping properties empty.
Why?
They're manipulating the price of property and rent. And there's no incentive for them to reduce the rents. They could afford to keep them empty if they want.
Yeah, but how long can they hold their breath for on not renting them out?
Until there's rules put in place.
Stay with us, Cormac. Back after this break. Joe at rt.ie. 515 more, John.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
This story is one man on a boat. Well, it's not one man on a boat. According to Waterways Ireland, who owned all the canals, they say it's one man and a garden shed on top of a few barrels, and he... Anthony Hall built it during the lockdown. It's his home now. Well, sorry, it was his home. How many nights did you sleep in it, Anthony, before it was taken?
I was there a couple of months.
Were you okay?
The interior wasn't perfectly finished. What I was doing was I was going to work, I was coming home.
Yeah, okay.
I was chipping away at it in the evening time. They have showers and facilities and stuff like that in Lowtown, so I was kind of using them.
And it was going to be called Lockdown, L-O-U-G-H, in Lowtown. James Smith, you've seen the you've seen the photographs. Is it, in your opinion, James, is it a garden shed on a few barrels?
I wouldn't say that at all, Joe, no. I would call it, looking at the two pictures here on Twitter, call it actually a work of art.
Well, fair play to you. You must be thrilled with that, Anthony, are you?
I am, absolutely delighted. I have to say,
it is a credit to you.
Thank you, man.
I must say to Waterways Ireland, cop on and leave the man. You know, build a life on the water. If that's what he wants to do, good and well. He's not interfering with anyone. He's providing for his own. He's self-sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
No problem whatsoever. It's actually, you know what, you should be proud of it. I honestly say that you should be really proud of it.
Thanks a million, man. I appreciate that.
And I have to say, that comment by Waterways Ireland, as a homeowner, who I wouldn't know what is involved in building a boat or anything, but I found that very derogatory and very condescending, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's a boat. Really? What you're saying as well, James, what you're saying, and I want to pick up on it, is that you or I couldn't build anything that floats, could you? I couldn't.
I certainly couldn't, Joe. And I'm handy, but I'm not. I wouldn't be that good. Now that is, to me, that is a work of art.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
You're And best of luck. I really do hope Waterways Ireland change their mind with this.
Okay. And thanks, James. But Anthony, like, why did they spend $5,000, which they're now saying they don't want back? They want a moving fee back of $2,500.
Yeah.
But why would they spend, which to me is a realistic figure, why would they spend $5,000 on hiring a crane and going through all the logistics? It's a big operation lifting your...
Very big.
And did, by the way, did your structure stay in one piece when it was lifted?
It was absolutely perfect. Well, it was like the day I lifted it into the water.
Well, then it's not a garden shed, is it?
No, absolutely not. I have all the photos of it being lifted into the water and all sorts of stuff. You can have a look at them yourself. Now, the boat is slightly damaged when they lifted it, but... You said you had
a wind turbine on it.
I had a wind turbine, I had an 800-watt wind turbine, I had 200-watt solar panels going down to a 4-battery battery bank, a completely self-sustaining 12-volt system, already hooked up. But they took my wind turbine down with a hammer, and they lifted my boat and bent the metal structure and the hull. But it's just been mad. I didn't see this coming. I thought I'd be able to deal personally with Waterways Ireland. I tried to, and to no avail, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm told the photographs of lockdown with an OUGH are on Instagram at RT Radio 1 and Facebook at RT Radio 1. Okay, Anthony, what's your next move? Oh, sorry, there's no move. What's your next challenge?
My next challenge is to try to get it out of there and find somewhere to store it until I can get all this moved. But the real problem is, Joe, I don't have any money to get it out of there.
So it's going to cost you big money to move.
I'm going to be upward to $4,000 between paying the waterways fee and trying to get my boat back all the way across the country to where they put it. I don't know how I'm going to manage it. If anybody out there has any ideas, please let me know.
Well, you need a low loader. You need someone to lift it.
Yeah. I need a low loader, a crane, something that's capable of lifting 4-ton weight.
Is it insured, by the way?
I was on to an insurance company at the time before they lifted it. They said it's definitely going to be insurable. They were talking to UK companies because there's no Irish companies that deal with that kind of thing. They were going to insure it with a UK company, but then I didn't go through with the insurance because my boat was taken out of water. So.
Okay, I had someone on my screen there. He's gone. Is he back again? Connell Carney. You there, Connell? Come in, Connell. There, Connell Carney.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Did you see the photographs?
I did see the photographs, and congratulations to the boat builder,
Anthony.
Brigadier
Anthony Hall. Connell,
well done, Anthony.
But you see problems with it, Connell.
Well, I'd love to check with Anthony. Has he the dimensions? Do they meet the navigable bridges and locks of the Grand Canal, because it looks rather high, and what I would have an idea of width and length of a barge that would be capable, or indeed a boat that could be through the locks on the Grand Canal.
Anthony?
Okay, so it came under three bridges and a lock to get to where it was.
Oh, wow.
All the canal bridges
are
dimensionally the exact same size.
Now, did you have the superstructure already on it when you went through the bridges?
Yeah, everything, as you see it in the photos. The only thing that was different is the wind turbine. That was higher, but I put that on a bracket, so anytime it moved, I could lower the wind turbine and it would go under any bridge in the country.
Well, wow. I mean, have you checked the draft on all the bridges on the Grand Canal? Because they do vary.
Yeah. I've measured you know that. I literally went to nearly every bridge in the country with a measuring tape. Myself and my brother went around.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And did you check the width and length of some of the locks on the canal? Because they were built by different engineers, so the width, would you believe?
So my boat is 10 foot wide.
What was the shortest lock on the canal?
Oh, I didn't measure the locks, but I know the wide beam barges that are built for the canal system in Ireland are 12 foot wide, and my structure is 10 foot wide.
Oh, then, no, 10 foot wide, absolutely, you're fine with that. There's no problem with it.
And Connell, are you an expert on the canals?
Well, I would like to think. I spent 15 years on a barge navigating up and down the Grand Canal, the Shannon and the Erin. And
for who? For yourself or for a company?
No, it was, some of your listeners may remember way, way back, a friend of mine, Derek Waters and myself, we suggested to restore one of the wrecks of a barge in the Grand, in Tullamore, as an antique item on the Late Late Show.
Okay, oh, brilliant.
So, Gay loved the idea, and Maura Connolly, and we got the wreck, and through some sponsorship deal, we got it floating. And then over a couple of years after that, we converted it into a traveling theatre. So the deck was a stage, so to speak, open-air stage with a canopy over it.
We ran
children's art theatre projects all along the canal.
This is pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. You're talking about over 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but you ran them all in the open air.
But that was the summer. It was a summer project.
Yeah, but we're going through an outdoor. This summer will be outdoors.
Perfect. Great idea.
Where is that barge now, O'Connell?
Well, it's not in my ownership anymore. It's now in Hayes under different ownership, but it's not operated as a theatre, unfortunately, anymore.
Okay.
So that, but it was. I mean, I know every inch of the canal, Joe. But I just thought from the pictures it looked rather high, because I can tell you our barge was one of the M barges. And standing at the tiller, if you know, the tiller is a big that you sear it. And sometimes you'd have to be careful to the bridge, the arch of the bridge, to nearly duck under
tight.
It.
And you've heard of people who weren't used to, you know, when they hire a boat or a barge and they're going along and they make the awful mistake when they're going under a bridge. Someone sticks their head up to see what's happening. And, of course, they hit their head off the bridge.
Exactly, yeah. So that's what I thought, the superstructure.
O'Connell, do you think we undersell our canals, underuse our canals, underutilize our canals?
I think so. I think absolutely. I think they need to, the Waterways Ireland need to look at their policy of developing houseboat communities with services, proper services, and, you know, that people can actually enjoy and live on the canal.
Okay.
It's a beautiful setting. But I do believe, sorry to cut across the joke, I do believe that in the Grand Canal in Dublin, there may be a liveaboard rented issue there. I'm not sure, but I thought that was a liveaboard area just off the Liffey there on the Grand Canal.
Okay, I can see Anthony's one with if you put lovely flowers, as they do, hanging baskets, and it could be a beautiful structure. But your two questions, when I saw your two questions, I thought Anthony was bunched. When you're an expert in this, could it pass under a bridge and could it get through a lock? And the answer is yes on both occasions. Are you happy with those answers, Connell?
I'm delighted.
Fair play to you.
The photo just looked a little bit conceiving for me this evening.
Okay. Well, then, is it a garden shed on few barrels?
Absolutely not. It's a houseboat.
Okay. Connell, safe sailing and safe navigation. Cormac McKay.
Just back to the people that were living on the Grand Canal there during the lockdown, and they were threatened with the exact same thing, their boats being lifted. The minister, super junior minister, Malcolm Noonan, the minister for heritage, and that's who's Waterways Ireland is under.
But he's fairly proactive, in fairness to Malcolm. He's a green activist now, Green TD. But like the last time we raised an issue on the canal up near Spencer Dock, he dealt with it that afternoon. So much stuff happens here. But he dealt with that afternoon when somebody was being asked to leave. He put a stay on it anyway. I presume the person is still. But anyway, maybe he'll see this.
I was actually talking to Malcolm. Sorry, Joe.
God, Anthony, is there anything you haven't done? Go ahead. What did he say?
I wasn't actually talking to Malcolm personally, but his team.
Okay.
And his team were, in fairness to them, they were really trying for me. They were keeping the communication, but unfortunately, Waterways gave me such a short time frame that there's nothing that could be done on their behalf, is what they were saying.
Okay.
They gave me 8 days. It's hard to get anything done in 8 days. Never mind get your own structure lifted out of the water. So, but in fairness to Malcolm and his team, they were trying for me.
Okay, do you want to stay on board, Anthony, for the conversations that moves on to Lorna Campbell and Drogheda? But Lorna, you're talking about trying to buy a first home. What? Tell us your story.
Yeah, so we have been saving since kind of last year. Sorry about that.
Okay.
And we're kind of in a position now where we are actively looking to buy houses. So we've been to new houses, and we priced the house back in April. We weren't really interested in it, but we drove past at the weekend, went into the Belden site just to have a look, and we got talking to the builder. Mid-April, we got an email with the price of this house, and it was 295. When we went on site to see the house, it was up to 325. So in the space of about 6 weeks, it jumped 30,000 for the exact same house, same square footage, everything. And it's kind of a continuous pattern that we've been seeing since we've started looking this year, is that every time more houses are released, they're up by 30,000-40,000.
Wow.
And obviously it can't just be in our area in Louth, it must be all over the country. But our kind of point is, where is it going to stop? We're going to end up back where we were 5-10 years ago, with prices inflated for houses, people ending up in negative equity and not being able to sell their homes because they've paid through the nose for houses that aren't going to hold their value.
And Lorna, did they say why it went from 29, went up 30 grand?
Yeah.
It went up 10% in the space of a few weeks before it was even sold.
Before they were even sold, yeah. So they told us the cost of labour and materials have driven the prices up so much. Yeah, but what we're kind of thinking is, should there not be some type of a regulatory body who can cap the price of a new build when it meets certain criteria, like certain square footage or certain amount of rooms or to a particular grade?
Apparently building material, you hear that everywhere, building materials have gone up dramatically during the lockdown because of the reduction in, well, the other companies suffer from, get a lot of, I would say, from Brazil. They're ravaged by COVID, so that means there's a lot less people in work. That means a lot less people on the docks, etc. It's a whole rich tapestry that keeps the world going. So there is shortage of materials. But that's what they're saying. It's gone up in price because of the cost of building materials.
And labour as well. I had someone kind of chatting to me, and she was like, oh, my boyfriend works in construction and his wages haven't gone up. So to say it's the cost of labour, kind of, it's not really a relevant point. But also what we're finding with the estate agents is when they're releasing houses, that a lot of the houses are already gone before it kind of gets out to the stage where they're releasing it to people who are on the list for interest.
Yeah.
And we're kind of just struggling at the point where we're going, well, how are these houses already sold when nobody has been made aware that they're even available?
It's demoralising, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We're just kind of at the stage where we're like, do we buy a house now because we're scared that we'll end up in negative equity, or if we wait for another 6 months, the house could be another 50,000-60,000 on what they already are. Like, where does it stop? Like, when do the government step in and say, like, we can't have this happen again with the prices of houses?
Say what is Lorna, because Andrew has contacted us. Andrew, what part of the country?
Hi, Joe. I'm up in Dublin at the moment, but unfortunately, the prices up here are just crazy. So myself and the wife, and we have two little kids, we went down the country to look for a house. So we've seen one that we liked on Thursday. We fell in love with it. Nice school for the kids. And put our offer in on Friday, and another family liked it. So we had a little kind of back and forward. We got the good news on Friday evening that we were the highest bidder. The owner accepted our offer and it was sale agreed. So that was all great. We gave our deposit on Saturday and we celebrated and we were delighted, and everything we have is going into this house. So even we cancelled our holiday down the country because, like, literally everything's going in. So then we got a phone call on Tuesday saying that someone else has come in with a higher offer and gazumped us, and the owner of the house is accepting that. So in the space of a couple of days, for us having our, like, a new future and being all excited, to having absolutely nothing, and it's all legal.
So Andrew, you bid 215.
We bid 215 and the offer was accepted.
Verbally or whatever. But
Yes. Well, with no contracts were signed. And so nothing we can do. I couldn't believe it.
But when it went to 220, do you think that's what it went to? Went up five?
Well, that's what the estate agent told us, that apparently they got an email on Sunday saying that they have come up to 220. And the owner of the house obviously wants more money, so he accepts them.
Yeah, but did the auctioneer, he or she, did they say to you, do you want to bid again?
Yes, they did, but like we were totally maxed out.
I understand.
To the extent of us like cancelling our holiday, do you know what I mean? It's just I just couldn't believe it, and I've never ever heard that word being used again. Like I was looking online at furniture and thinking what you could do with the garden and looking at schools.
And it was in where Gorey.
It was, yes. And the funny thing about it was it was on the market in February for 179, and then they took it off, and then it went back up to a couple of months later to 199, and obviously then sold for 220. So like we just first time buyers, we don't have a hope, and if we do have a hope, it can be taken away straight away. It's just. I just can't see any end.
You're saying the price of that house went up over 20% in the space of 3 or 4 months.
That's correct. Yeah.
Wow. Lorna, come in, Lorna.
Yeah, we're all kind of in the same boat with this happening everywhere. Yeah.
But house prices are jumping 20% in 3 or 4 months, which means 100% in every 15, 16 months at that rate.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's just mental. It's gone beyond the joke now, because like we wanted to get our children into school before, but you know, and now is it going to be another year?
Where are you living, Andrew, at the moment?
We're lucky enough to be able to stay with my mother-in-law, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so fair play to her, but still, you don't want to, anyway.
No, but like without her, we obviously wouldn't have the money, but the way things are going, even if we save the amount we're saving, we're never going to be able to get on, because it's just skyrocketing now. Because like last year, the houses were maybe 160, 170. You get a beautiful house now, you're struggling to get anything for over 220, 230, 240.
Says it all. Okay, stay with us. 51551, one more.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Ryan Tuberty Show, weekdays from 9 on RTE Radio 1.
Roisin Murphy from TV's Home Rescue.
Good morning, Oliver.
So what was going on in your home then during the pandemic?
It wore out. The couch is like a sagging sponge thing. All of the varnish is worn off the floors. The fridge, it just wore out. I think the pandemic put house under pressure.
I've never heard anyone wearing out a fridge before.
Think about all these teenagers that are never usually in the house and they're eating. They go to the fridge and they come back to the fridge and they go to the fridge. There's nothing ever apparently in the fridge, but that doesn't stop them from opening it about 20 million times a day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
The all-new Hyundai Tucson is Ireland's best-selling car this year, and it's also got the Irish motoring press talking. The Irish Times write, Hyundai has a hit on its hands. The Irish Independent says, a daring revamp that pushes the boundaries. The Sunday Independent write, it's a massive step forward. And the Sunday World say, the new Hyundai Tucson is absolutely amazing. The all-new Tucson, Ireland's best-selling car, now available in diesel, hybrid, and plug-in hybrid. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Best-selling car this year as based on most recently published monthly figures.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Back to the issue that started the programme. Anthony Hall has built a structure. It floats. He's placed it on the... He built it with his own hand. Placed it on the canal. We've tweeted photographs on that, Joe Liveland, RTE Liveland, and Instagram and Facebook. And... the Waterways Ireland said you can't leave a garden shed and a few barrels there, get rid of it. He couldn't or didn't, and Waterways Ireland came up with a crane and they lifted it, and now they clamped it effectively, but they moved it to their shed down in Shannon, and they now want $3,000 from Anthony plus a guarantee that he won't go back underwater. Would you give that guarantee, Anthony?
Well, yeah, I would.
You wouldn't go back,
I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a funny. Surely,
you know, like what happens?
Surely a government quango can't be judicial and say we want to guarantee that you won't break the law again. If you break the law again, you face the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
Waterways Ireland aren't judge and jury. But anyway, stay there. And Pat, good afternoon. You have a few questions for Anthony.
Yeah, Joe. Thanks very much. Yeah. I had a look at the structure there, Joe, and it looks lovely, but it doesn't really look like a boat. I wouldn't say it looks like a garden shed, but it doesn't look like a boat. It looks like a floating house. And, you know, when you see boats, mm-hmm. and I'm out in Castleknock, there's loads of boats there. When you're navigating, you've got 360 visibility. You can look left, right, ahead, behind you when you're going through locks. I can't see that there. But I actually think the biggest probably reason Waterways Ireland have done this, because if people are able to build structures on the canal, you know, mm-hmm. we'll end up with a worse case than having a housing problem. We've a sewage problem. We've all sorts of problems. And Waterways Ireland only allow you to moor your boat, and you can live on it over 90 days in a year. You can't live on it permanently unless you're in Grand Canal Dock, where they have facilities, and up on the Shannon. And I think, you know, I don't think there shouldn't be boats on the canal for people living, but I think Waterways Ireland have to put in a whole lot of infrastructure to make them healthy, you know?
Do you want to address those questions, Pat? Or Anthony.
Well, first of all, like, if Waterways really realistically had an issue with me doing what I was doing, they should have came at it with a professional manner. They've evicted me out of my home in less than 8 days. Whether or not people believe it's a boat or it's not a boat, I mean, it's floating in the water. It's going to be able to navigate the canals. Came under tree bridges and locked to get to where it is.
But could you see behind you now and in front and around you and everything
that? Yeah, that was the plan.
How could you? I can't see it by looking at the picture.
Well, the plan was a bracket on an outboard and a deck and the deck at the front. But I told Waterways the situation. I told them there was going to be on it. They said, congratulations, well done. Looks great. And then without warning, 8 days later, my boat was gone.
What does your permit allow you to? How long does your permit allow you to stay on the canal or live on it? Or
the permit was the standard CMP permit, which everybody has, €126, and that allows you to be on the canal for, you can't be moved within 5 days, or you can go up to the next one up. It's 256, and that's 90 days. But generally, general consensus that everyone on the canal pays €126. And they basically live on the canals where they are. They're not disturbed or moved.
Right. And are you saying, Pat, I don't know whether you've seen even on Google Earth or whatever, looking at this morning, Lowtown. I never heard it. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Where a number of tributaries meet. But it looked like there was a lot of boats and barges. Now, how can I know whether they're permanent or not? But it seems a lot of them were moored there.
It happens in a lot of places around Ireland, Joe. And, you know, it's part of the issue is Waterways Ireland haven't got facilities. But just because it doesn't have facilities, that doesn't mean everyone can, you know, go along and moor a boat and live in it. It's, you know, because I think there's a sewage issue. I saw an article in the Irish Times yesterday about a guy. He has a shower, he has a washing machine on his boat, he's everything. I don't know where that water is going out of the washing machine or the shower. I don't want to think about it either, Joe.
Okay,
you know?
Wastewater, Anthony.
Wastewater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a holding tank. I'll put a holding tank in. It's the middle barrel under my porch, which can be emptied. That was the plan there. I was all plumbed up and ready before I put it into the water.
Sewage.
Sewage, septic tank, and then that gets disposed of in Lowtown Boatyard. They have facilities for that.
Okay.
And how long do you have to empty that, or how do you move to empty that?
It's a little tank underneath your toilet, and you just have a handle on it. You walk it down the bank, and Lowtown have a facility there for you to dispose of it.
Right, and the guy in Castleknock with the water washing machine, where's he doing it?
I haven't a clue. No, he's none of my business.
I see.
You know?
See, that's what I think is that there's no regulation for these things, so it's very hard to work around it.
But
it doesn't look like your deck is very low. Are they worried about water overflowing into the boat?
No, not at all. I have.
Like if another boat passes you and it creates a swell, would that wash water up?
No, absolutely not.
Well, because you know most boats, they have the deck covered by the side of the boat, the water can't go over.
Yeah, I have a foot of clearance between the top of the water and the bottom of my boat.
Okay. Pat Morphy. Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Pat, thank you indeed, sir. Pat, sorry, one more question. Have you, Pat?
Well, no, I just said thanks. I just said I think this thing needs to be regulated by everybody. Yeah. So.
Okay. More after this break. 51551 more John.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Back to the houseboat over the river, not the river, the canal. A houseboat over the river, quite Pat Morphy. Pat, well-known mariner and round-the-world seascaper. Pat, have you seen the photograph of this?
I have, Joe. I've seen the photograph. And I must say, the structure looks terrific, but it is not suitable for the water, for the canal, on a public waterway.
Why?
No way.
Why?
Well, first of all, to maneuver, you can't see. Okay, build a structure to look
at
over
the back.
The top of it.
Yeah, at the back and stand up and...
Stand up. Look at the height you'd have to stand up to do it.
A lot of barges not like that.
No, not that high. Barges are not that high.
But you remember the Guinness barge used to go from Victoria Quay
They weren't that high. They didn't have that height on it at all.
Well, they had to. They were so high. They had to. The stovepipe had to was on hinges. You used to bend every time you went
under. Pipe, but that's fair enough on it. But it was still, even with the stovepipe down, it wasn't anywhere near the height of that lovely structure that man built. Now, what he could do is if he went to a private marina, he could get a berth in a private marina, and that would be fine on it.
Yeah. Okay.
A marina berth, and
are there such things in Ireland, apart from Malahide or Dunleary or Howth? Is there such a thing as a private marina in Ireland?
Yes, there's loads of private marinas. Loads of them.
Okay.
My partner Geraldine is in one in Butler's Marina in Carrington Shannon.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She's
up there.
24 foot boat. And
have you any idea how much the rent is there for a year, for example?
Well, I would say
anywhere
something
between 1,000 and 1,500.
Thanks, Geraldine. Yeah, that's Anthony. Between 1,000 and 1,500.
Yeah, you see, like there's no real pontoon houseboats in the country. I'm not sure how all these big marinas are generally on the Shannon or on the sea.
Okay.
These pontoon houseboats are kind of specifically built for canals, like they are over in the UK, like they are over in Amsterdam. Whether people think it's navigable by the canal, I can tell you it definitely is, because I've done it myself.
I'm fairly experienced now, and I would doubt that. It is not fitted at the moment for navigating on the canal.
But is the canal, apart from the locks, is the canal not fairly placid, Pat? Unlike the rivers, or indeed the sea, but the rivers, which is the option for Anthony. Do you not...
The canals are flat. Joe, look.
Yeah.
He'd have to build a structure, put an outboard bracket on the back of it there.
But he's willing to do that.
That's what was said. That was the agreement made with Waterways Ireland. We had hashed all this out.
Okay, Pat, what were we going to say?
If he's getting insurance, I would think all insurance companies would look for a survey. And I would think a surveyor would have difficulty passing that as a boat.
Okay, well, I was in contact with marine surveyors. I was in contact with insurance companies. The insurance companies I was dealing with seemed very confident that the boat could be insured. But I didn't get a chance to insure it, as Waterways Ireland took it out of the water on me. I'm sure, why would I fork out insurance for a boat that's sitting in a yard across the country?
And did you have a surveyor?
There was a surveyor lined up to come look at the boat. The insurance company seemed very confident that they can insure it, but I wasn't given a chance to insure it because Waterways took it.
Well, I would think a surveyor would have problems. I don't know. I'm only giving my views on it, but I must congratulate you on a lovely structure. It's very,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And has Geraldine seen the photographs, Pat?
Yes, she has seen, and she's clapping her hands here.
Well,
can you put
Geraldine on to me? Do you mind?
Geraldine.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, Geraldine. I could hear you were on there for nearly the last 10 minutes. Fair play to you. in a good way. Where you store your boat up in Carrick, is that it?
Yep, Carrick-on-Shannon. It's taken out in the winter time because it's a cruiser. It's not a liverboard.
Okay.
It's not a liverboard, it's a cruiser. I've got to say, I think I really commend him for his efforts, for his ingenuity. Yeah. Fantastic young man. It does seem awful that somebody with that much going them kind of gets it all pulled out from underneath them. But, you know, big business, the law, government, you've got to tell the line.
What do you think of a structure? What do you think of it, Geraldine, looking at it in the photograph?
Yeah, I mean, we're up and down the Shannon a fair bit, and I can think of a couple of others. There's definitely one at Tara Marina. It's even been on Nationwide anyway, last year or the year before. And that is a private marina.
Okay.
And there's one not too far from where I live as well, just up a backwater off the Boyle River. And I think they're terrific. I think they're great. I don't know that the one off the Boyle River is actually lived in. But, it's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one.
But, Geraldine, where are you from originally, can I ask?
Yorkshire.
Yes. But isn't there a completely different community? Isn't there a massive inland boating community in the UK?
It's no good, I'm telling you, because I didn't have a boat till I came to Ireland. I was never into boats at all until about 4 years ago. So I don't know. But all I know is what swung me into getting interested was being around a couple of years ago when I saw one of the cruiser rallies, and I thought, what a fantastic community.
Beautiful.
Absolutely lovely. And that's what made me think that I'm going to get a boat before I die.
So tranquil. Mm. So tranquil. Okay. Geraldine, do you ever sail on the high seas with Pat?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. Well, that's an experience.
The first time as well. It's only like 4 years ago since we first went off. But, yeah, I mean, it's a different thing altogether.
Okay.
We've been to Cornwall.
And now Pat's talking over you. You were talking over him. And I don't know how he's...
That's
brilliant. It's brilliant. Okay, Pat Murphy and Geraldine, thank you both for sharing the line. Plain sailing again after... Yes, Geraldine.
Good luck to him. I hope...
Yeah, fair play.
Thank you very much.
Awful lot of goodwill.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715.
Tom Latchford is in Tuam and is a marine engineer. Tom, have you seen the photograph of the lockdown?
I have indeed, Joe. And again, a great admiration for the man in the way he's constructed this. He's really done it beautifully. Now, he needs a little bit of finesse, maybe, to manoeuvre under bridges. He's already explained that. And the thing is, he should be welcomed. In fact, I go further, I should say, the councils and people authorities ought to be giving him money to improve, giving it to him, because he's not scrounging from the councils. He's not scrounging off anybody for money. He's put his own money behind this project. He's doing his bit. Now, I'm a retired man, and one of the things I'm involved with is the Simon community. I am constantly aware of the homeless and people sleeping in doorways, looking for handouts because they got nowhere to go. You see them all over Dublin begging. And this man is the total opposite. He's fit and able to do a job, and he's done it well. What he needs now, if anything, is advice and help. And a clap on the back.
Yeah, and I remember a lot of people who are looking for help on the streets are in complicated and very difficult situations, not at all making. But Tom, you think he should be, he should get a break?
He should get a break, yes. Okay. And if certain adjustments need to be done, they can be done. Now, I'm going to ask the authorities to look into the advertising of boats for hire on the Shannon, because I go every year for many, many years. And I have a very large boat on the Shannon because I like comfort. Now, they've now brought out boats which don't look unlike, in some respects, the boat that Joe has built, Anthony's built.
Okay.
Because they're going for accommodation. It's one long blank.
Well, we have a pretty well-funded organisation, North and South, called Waterways Ireland. Surely it's not without or indeed their remit to try and get a handle on it. Okay, Tom Blatchford, Anthony Hall, I don't suspect we've seen the end of the lockdown. So
I hope not.
Okay,
thanks for having me on, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for contacting us. Yeah, okay. By the way, we were talking yesterday about the many extraordinary events that took place here in Ireland in 1979. Charlie Board was telling us that story no one ever heard about, but the foot and mouth ransom demand of 5 million. And inevitably, sadly, we didn't get to touch on everything. But one woman contacted us yesterday after the program, Bernadette Ryan. And she pointed out, I'd known about this, but I didn't. The date would have eluded me. Bernadette's husband, Eamon Ryan, who was just 31, was on holidays in his hometown of Tramore in County Waterford, went into the bank with his three-year-old child, and an IRA gang arrived, Eamon Nolan, Aaron O'Connell. And I think my memory is Eamon was lying on the floor trying to protect his three-year-old. Everyone was told to lay on the floor. And the three-year-old might have moved, and father helped his three-year-old. And he was shot dead by the IRA in that bank in 1979. So we remember Eamon Ryan and indeed his widow and the children that he left behind. Back tomorrow at 1.45, Shannon Gorman produced. And Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.